This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. I'm here today to talk to you about making the most of life. You know, across the deck, I think that this is actually just what people are going for. I mean, if you think about kids, teenagers, young adults, mid-career, midlife, or even retirees, it basically comes down to kind of the same mission. People are trying to live a good life. If I think of a contrast between like a young person, like I have teenage sons, so I'm kind of thinking of a teenager. They're thinking about having fun, enjoying life, like wanting things to be good in their life. And then if I think about a retiree, like my parents right now that are constantly vacationing and cruising and things like that, they're kind of after the same thing. You know, they're wanting to enjoy life, have experiences, do things while they can. So I think that it behooves us to ask the question, how do we do that? You know, how do we make the most of life? How do we live our best life? We don't want to just be in survival mode. People want to be thriving. That's what we're longing for, is to thrive. And who doesn't really want that? You know, my older son is really into cars. He loves high performance vehicles that are built to go super fast. And I think he's fascinated by the mechanics and the design that make it possible for the car to perform that way. There are just cars that are built to ignite power and to have a driving capability that can just outperform every other car out there. And he's fascinated by that. But I will say that if you were to get into one of these remarkable cars that he takes so much interest in, you put that car into first gear and you floor it, and you never switch gears, and you're not really driving the car according to how the car is designed to be driven, then it's not going to outperform anything. It's actually not going to perform well at all. And it doesn't mean that the car is not capable of performing well. It just means that it isn't being driven according to its design. And friends, this is the same thing in life. If you are designed by God to live one way, but then you drive your entire life in first gear, you're going to wear down your engine and you're not going to get anywhere fast. So we really need to pay attention to how we are designed to live so that we can then do that. And that's what I really want to talk about today. I do have good news. And that is that God's perfect design for life is not a secret. God does have a perfect design for us to exist on this earth. He's very forthcoming about that design. And it is for us to experience the power and the purpose of His perfect design when we're in a faith relationship with Him. We are given a choice. I will tell you, it's not like 10 choices or 15 choices. It's just two choices, one or the other. Choice number one is be rescued by Him so that we can be restored into right relationship with Him. Restoration into right relationship with Him. That's one choice. Or the other choice is exist disconnected from that relationship with Him and miss life according to that design. Those are the choices. It's one or the other. So the way that we actually tap into the full potential of what God has for you and what life is intended to be, just like that car's design, is to really engage, just like a car where you engage the gear shift. In life, you have to engage faith. You have to tap into that perfect design of being in a relationship with God and surrendering all things to Him. And the way that that happens is through faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as like the faith chapter. It is the Faith Hall of Fame is what a lot of people say because it lists 17 people who have demonstrated extreme faith when they were faced with impossible things. And I kind of like to call it not the Faith Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith, because honestly, these people were not famous rock stars. They were ordinary people who simply exercised extraordinary faith. So when referring to what kind of people we are to be as people of faith, Hebrews 10:39 says, "We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Okay, the writer is creating two different categories of people. So remember the choice that I just said that we have a choice. It's one or the other. There are only two, and it's pick one or the other. It's similar. The writer's reminding them of this same choice. You can either shrink back and be destroyed. That's one group of people. And then the other group of people is having faith and being saved. And he is telling them, we are of those that don't shrink back. We are those who have faith and are saved. And right after this, the writer supports it with examples of people who exercised extraordinary faith in Hebrews chapter 11. So immediately after this verse, you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you hear about these 17 people that are just kind of examples of extraordinary faith. And after giving all of those examples, then the writer goes straight into what we're supposed to do in response to all of this. And that's where Hebrews 12:1 comes in. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, remember talking about those people that were just mentioned in the previous chapter, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. People who live by faith do not shrink back. They are actually people who set aside the weight and the sin. So just like literally set it aside and say, I'm not going to carry this weight. I'm not going to live in this sin, and I'm going to run, because with that weight and that sin off, they actually have stamina to run with endurance the race that is set before them. By the way, guys, this is life, the race that is set before us, with their eyes on Jesus. And in Him, our faith is born, because He's the author of it. Without Him, there is no faith. All right, so if I'm going to talk about faith and the fact that being in a faith relationship with God is the perfect design for your life, and this is how you live your best life. And please understand, living your best life does not mean a comfortable, easy, lovely, everything's great life, because guess what? People of faith and people who are not of faith both live in the same broken world. I actually just talked about this a couple episodes ago on May 5th about how it's not just like rainbows and butterflies. We all know that. Life is very real, and it's that way for people of faith just as well as it is for people who aren't of faith. God is not a circumstantial God. So when I talk about living your best life, when I talk about being in a faith relationship with God in order to live according to God's perfect design, I'm not talking about, you know, having money and going on vacations and having fun and all of this kind of stuff. I'm talking about the things that everyone on earth wishes they had. Everyone on earth wants peace. Everyone on earth longs for fulfillment, for purpose. Everyone on earth in the midst of chaos is trying to find a steady place, something that feels trustworthy, and faithful. This is the human condition. And being in that place is where you live your best life. And then there's so much more that God can do. And I'm actually going to talk to you about that right now. I will say that as we continue to talk about faith, I need to say what faith is not, because there are a lot of misconceptions. In today's day and age, the idea of faith is often distorted. So I think it's important that I mention this for a minute. Please understand that I'm not talking about wishful thinking. We are not making a wish and blowing out a candle and hoping that the wish comes true, because God is not just a wish-granting fairy. Wishful thinking is trusting that something will work out for your will and your way. Faith, my friends, is about trusting that God's will and God's way are the way. And that kind of faith requires trust and the surrender of self-interest. That's what we're talking about when we talk about faith. Also, we can't water down this idea of living by faith, because living by faith is also not just believing that there's a God or that God exists. We have to understand why that's not the full package. Because so does Satan. He is very aware that there is a God. He knows that God exists, but he does not draw near to God. He does not seek God. He does not surrender his way to God. Faith is about believing God is who he says he is, that he is the one true God, that he is good, that he loves his people, that he fights for his people, that he is gracious and kind, just and powerful, and that he came to earth to put on flesh with the objective of saving his people and making a way for them when there was no way. He became the way for them. And he lived so that he could die, to be the final, ultimate sacrifice for our sin, so that we could be free. He rescued us. He made a way for us to be restored into this relationship with God that I'm talking about. So when we have faith, we're believing that. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's when he steps in and takes over. And then living out that faith is all about trusting and obeying him through it all. I'm going to share about a time when God showed me that his design, his way, is really how I get to live my best life. I know if you've listened before, or if you're a very regular listener, you have heard me talk about this before, but just for anyone who hasn't, when I was a sophomore in college, God led me to do a study abroad program in Chile, South America. And it's a long story. And if you go back and listen to previous episodes, you will hear more details about this. But basically, God prompted me to leave my very comfortable life at Clemson and study in Chile. And I did not want to do it. I was mad at God for nudging me incessantly and basically not leaving me alone until I finally listened to him. So I did eventually surrender to what God wanted me to do. I signed up for the study abroad experience. I went to Chile, even though I didn't really want to. And I honestly didn't understand why I was going. But as we were preparing for this trip, I had to meet with my advisor to discuss my host family placement. And during that meeting, the advisor asked me, what type of host home are you interested in? I mean, I didn't know. I had not done any research on this place. I did not know anything about the country. I didn't speak the language. I had no idea what to expect. And all I really knew was that for some reason God wanted me to go. So I asked, you know, what are some of my options? And she was like, well, you could choose close to school or far from school. Are you willing to take public transit or are no. You know, do you want to host family that speaks English, or are you open to a placement with a non-English speaker? Are there any specific amenities in the home that are deal breakers for you? Like, do you have to have central heat and AC, or do you have to have cable TV or something like that? And frankly, I did not realize that I had any type of say in any of these things. I was really surprised that they would even let a student decide how comfortable they were going to be when they went. I had been reckoning with the fact that God was telling me to do this, and I was finally committed to obeying Him, even though I didn't understand why. And I knew He wanted me to leave the comfort of my life at Clemson for this. So I was not expecting to be comfortable. I wasn't expecting it to be easy. I responded and I said, well, I guess you can just put me wherever. I mean, if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it. What's the point if I don't make the most of the opportunity? And at this point, I had basically surrendered. I had released my control, and in faith, I was submitting to God's plan. And I didn't know. I just trusted that God was good and that He was for me and that He wasn't against me and that He knows things that I don't know. And so I finally said yes. I knew that He was doing something. And at that point, I was just like all in. I was like, okay, fine. What? I'm all in. And I had to just do it. So by the time I got to Chile, I realized that my advisor took me very seriously. I arrived to my placement, and it was an apartment that had very few amenities. There was almost no furniture. There was no washer dryer. There was no cable or central AC. There was no central heat. There were not even box springs for my mattress. There was also not a shower head in the shower. It was just a pipe. It was located in an area that required 2 to 3 forms of public transit just for me to get to campus. And my host mom was an older single woman who did not speak English. And I actually think that they almost declined working with this lady because she was so unconventional. She was single. She was far away. She was poor. She didn't speak English and so forth. But then they met me and decided, you know what, maybe we can give this lady a try because this student doesn't really care and is just saying, put me wherever, I'll do whatever. If I'm going to do it, I might as well do it. So I will tell you, this was very hard for me. When I arrived, I didn't speak the language. I couldn't communicate about my basic needs. I didn't live near anyone that I knew, like from the program. And at the age of 19, as a young girl, I had to learn to navigate public transit in a major metropolitan capital city in South America. And by the way, this was at a time when there were no cell phones and there was no GPS. I attended classes in a language that I didn't understand, and I came home daily with a migraine, headache, suffering from exhaustion like I had never experienced before. But I'm sure you can imagine that by the time I left the country, I was fluent in Spanish. I was fully acculturated into the Chilean culture. I had strong friendships with Chileans, and my life had been changed forever. Something that I learned from this is that going all in really does not disappoint. And for anyone who knows anything else about my life, 2 years after that trip, I met my husband when I was living in Dallas, Texas. And my husband is originally from Chile. And when we met, he did not speak English. But you know what? I spoke Spanish. And actually, I spoke like a Chilean vernacular of Spanish. I knew his country. I knew his culture. I even knew where he went to the gym. You know, and when you look back and see that it was because of God pushing me and prompting me to go, that's what led to all of this. I see God's loving kindness towards me. I was mad at Him and He was loving me. He prepared the way for the relationship that I have with my husband and, of course, you know, everything that has come since then. And I'm sharing this with you because If I had stayed in control, if I had continued in my doubt, if I had not trusted God, if I had not leaned into that faith relationship with Him and trust Him more than I trust myself, I would not have lived my best life. Friends, we can't stay in park or in neutral in our faith and experience the power of God's design for our life. If we stay in neutral in our faith, you know, like, I'm good the way that I am, we cannot expect to live the abundant life God has designed for us. If you think about a car, there's just really very little power in neutral. You have to shift into gear and engage that power, which in our case, in the Christian faith, it is to engage faith. And it's not just in the Christian faith, it's in life. This is how God's designed it, to engage faith, to make the most of life. So there are some pitfalls that we really need to avoid as we pursue a life of faith. And one of them is control. I will tell you, we are so guarded when it comes to trusting God because we want to control everything. We want to understand everything. I know I do. I want to understand. And so faith has been a real journey for me. We want to know the future. We want to be able to map out the course. But let me remind all of us, that is not our job. We are trying to be something that we're not designed to be. When we want to have all the information and fully understand everything that's happening, we're basically wanting to be all-knowing. When we want to be able to control what happens and what the outcomes of our situations are going to be, we're basically wanting to be all-powerful. We want to adopt what is intended to be God's role as our own, because we think that it will give us peace if we know, if we understand, if we control. But remember, we don't know what God knows. We don't see what God sees. He is much more trustworthy with our lives than we are. Our desire to control is destructive. I mean, really, look at society. We are completely overwhelmed. We're anxious. We're afraid. We're at odds with the people around us. And unfortunately, fear and control can simply suffocate our best moments in life. And taking on the role of God is not our perfect design. We are most at peace when we are trusting God and depending on Him. It's backwards from the way the world works. The God reality is that letting go of control brings peace. It brings joy. It brings fulfillment. And stepping into the role of controlling everything, guess what? It brings stress, anxiety, and frequent disappointment. And Satan's most effective strategy is to make us feel uncertain about our life and then trap us into thinking that God is not for us, that His way is not the best way, and that we can have it better if we seek our own satisfaction over trusting God. But you know what? To find freedom, we have to actually let go of control. And we have to trust Jesus with our lives. Another pitfall to avoid whenever we're pursuing a life of faith is an idea of protection. In a life of faith, you have to flip the idea of staying safe on its head, honestly. Our minds are wired to stay safe. But that innate God-designed ability to stay safe is intended to keep us from running into a busy street. It is not intended to make us run from God. Unfortunately, we will often believe the lie that safety and security means to only do what's easy or what makes sense. Or we believe the lie that it is safer to take care of ourselves than it is to depend on God. I have to tell you, my friends, that right there, it's false. Don't believe it. Just because God's ways don't make sense doesn't mean that they're not safe. And just because taking a God-inspired risk isn't easy does not mean that there's no security or assurance. And just because life is hard and scary, and that does not mean that God is not trustworthy or that we're better off doing things on our own. When we're tempted to think that it's safer to do what's comfortable, we should take a pause. We should really think about not falling into that trap, because God did not design life to be lived like that. An abundant life derives from a life of faith. In my case, I mean, what would have happened if I told my advisor, yeah, I'm really afraid of change and I really didn't want to do this trip anyway, and I'm just doing it because I feel like I have to. So please just put me somewhere that kind of caters to my comfort so that I can have an easy stay while I'm in Chile. If that had been my response to my advisor, honestly, I wouldn't be married to my Chilean husband for over 22 years. I wouldn't have two Chilean American sons. I wouldn't have family, my kids, aunts and uncles and cousins all in Chile. We would not have lived in Chile with the kids when they were young. My son wouldn't speak Spanish. I wouldn't speak Spanish. I mean, you know, I could go on and on. None of that would exist. And God is just very, very faithful, because if I had been left to my own way, I would have been so lost in my life. I would have missed out on the God-powered, God-inspired, God-appointed life that He has afforded me. And again, please understand, I'm not talking about an easy life. I'm talking about a life lived by faith, according that is then kind of revealing or unearthing God's perfect design. It's really an amazing thing to be a part of, and it's all to His glory. So I just encourage you to consider, in what ways are you inclined to shrink back in your faith? Or maybe you just don't want to have faith at all, or you're scared to put your faith in Jesus. And how are you inclined to try to play it safe? Hopefully you've been able to see some themes as I've talked about this. And, you know, when we think about what is God's perfect design for us, it's to be in that relationship with Him. That's how we were designed. We are not designed to be God. We're not designed to know all things, to understand all things, to control all things, to see all things. And when we try to act like we do, it doesn't work out. We're also not designed to be alone. When we try to go at it alone, we will fail. And others will never be able to fill the void for us. They will also fail us. And it's 100% fact. But God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And in His presence, we find true peace. And He gives us strength and courage in His presence. And we're also designed for an active relationship with an active God. In the same way that He calls us to active faith, He is an active God. His goodness and mercy, it's running after us. He is pursuing us. He is not a passive God. He initiates, He orchestrates, He engages, and He wants us to do the same. He's looking for people who will trust Him because He's trustworthy. The reason, guys, that we can have an active faith is because He is faithful. So I just want you to think about what it looks like to engage faith. If you're going to be here on this earth and have this life, you might as well live it the way that God designed it to be lived. Think about your relationship with God. Do you have one? You know, and I know when I ask you to engage faith, it might sound like I'm asking you to do something big, bold, and crazy. But that's not necessarily what I mean. It might be something big and bold, but it could also be something super simple, like a simple change. Making a decision to just open a Bible requires faith and action. Deciding to go to church if you don't go. talk to maybe your spouse, your children, or family member and say, hey, I think we should pray together. That takes faith and action. In this busy and performance-driven world we live in, guess what? Faith and action might be a decision to rest, you know, to take a day off, even though things are crazy, because God designed us to rest. And sometimes it's a faith step to not just go, 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 because life will pass you by. Maybe you need to engage faith by confessing something that you've done or that you're doing that you're afraid to talk to God about. Maybe you need to trust God with your mess. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of your sin, your depression, your doubt, your fear, your apathy. None of that scares him because Jesus came for the sick, not for the healthy. John 10:10 tells us this, that he came that we might have life and have it abundantly. He is on a mission to deliver you from these things. So don't believe the lie that God doesn't want to hear it or that you're too far gone. And if you're feeling maybe lethargic or numbing your faith, all the more reason to step into a position of faith in your life. He will wake up your sleeping spirit. He will do it. It's what he does. The best way to combat lethargy, spiritual lethargy, is worship. It's about recognizing how weak we are and how wonderful he is. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." So friends, do you need to engage faith by saying yes to something that scares you? Maybe by saying no to something that's tempting? Or maybe you need to engage faith by waiting, not taking control, trusting that he has not left you while you sit in the midst of uncertainty. Just remember, God does not disappoint. He is for you. He's not against you. And as you approach God, don't shrink back. And also don't delay. Get into gear and see what's possible when you tap into God's perfect design of living life of faith in Jesus. Thank you for listening. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.